Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. It's a Friday, which means it's a Target Demo Friday. We'd love to know what you're doing as you listen to the show. So hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. And let us know what you got going on today as you listen, where you're at as you listen, and what you got going this weekend. We'll read them on the show at the end of the next hour, the final hour of the program. It's March, which means tickets are being punched. And I love the mid-majors and low majors that make Cinderella happen in the NCAA tournament. We're punching tickets here on the DA show as well, including the SoCon, where UNC Greensboro is dancing.
It's DA's mid-major mothership, only on CBS Sports Radio.
The horn sounds, that's it. UNCG gets revenge. They lost ETSU a year ago in the Southern Conference Championship, but they win tonight 62-47, and they go dancing for the third time in school history and the first time since 2001.
Brandon Gaudin on Westwood One joining us as head coach at UNC Greensboro, Wes Miller, as UNC Greensboro, UNCG, dances into the NCAA tournament. Coach, good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, and we're thrilled. So I appreciate you having me.
No question about it. Love to have you guys here on the show. And this is your first dance into the NCAA tournament as a head coach. You, of course, went there with North Carolina when you played at UNC a number of years ago, and actually helped win a national championship there in 2005. What is more gratifying? What is more satisfying? Doing it as a player or doing it as a coach?
Well, it's just totally different. You know, it's a different experience altogether. I think going to the NCAA tournament as a player at North Carolina, it was unbelievable, don't get me wrong. But there was an expectation. It's been really hard to get here from UNCG. And we've had a bunch of kids that have worked their tails off and dreamed about it. And we thought we were really close a year ago. We lost by one possession in our conference championship final a year ago. So this has been really special this year to get this group there and get this school back to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 17 years.
How much did that motivate you coming that close last year to coming into this year and trying to wrap up that bid?
It was a big motivational piece throughout the offseason. You know, they gave us a runner-up trophy for getting to the conference final last year, and we kept that sitting in my office. And in our program, the guys come through the offices every day. This is kind of a center point, you know, during the school day of our program. So we kept the runner-up trophy in the office to kind of remind ourselves every day that we were one possession away and how terrible that felt. So it is something we've hung on to and something we've used as a motivational piece for over a year now.
When you were handed the runner-up trophy, did you feel gratification or did you feel, oh my goodness, I don't want any part of this? And then the light bulb went off and you said, ooh, this is a good motivator?
No, it was interesting. We weren't handed it after the game. We were in the locker room, you know, bawling and upset, you know, like everybody is when their season ends type of thing. But a couple weeks afterwards, you know, my athletic director brought the runner-up trophy in my office and said, hey, the Southern Conference sent us this. And I let it sit on my mantle for a couple of days, and every time I looked at it, it bothered me, you know. And so I said, hey, I'm going to leave it there because it's a good reminder on the tough days that we want to do everything we can to get better today so we give ourselves a chance not to have to feel this way next year. And I think the kids kind of bought into it and the staff bought into it as well.
UNC Greensboro head coach Wes Miller wins the SoCon, and so they're dancing into the NCAA tournament. This was a tough go at it for you, taking over the job in 2011, and from then you guys had four straight sub-500 seasons overall, although a couple of years ago you were 10-8 in the conference, but just 15-19 overall. You got to the CBI, then last year the NIT, and now this year you finally get there. Were there some tough moments for you from a confidence standpoint as you go through those seasons trying to build up to where you are now?
Absolutely. It was really tough here in the first handful of years. And we experienced quite a bit of failure. You know, we didn't win many games. We had some departures out of our program, and those were really difficult years. And it took a little longer to build our program than I think any of us wanted. But looking back on it now, you know, I value those years as much as anything because of how much we learned and how much we've grown, you know. And I think I got the job at 28 years old. I thought I knew what I was doing. I know now that I didn't. I still don't know what I'm doing, but at least I'm aware of it now. you know, and know those early years really allowed us to figure out what our values were, you know, who we were as a staff. You know, we learned a little bit more about our institution and the way we need to recruit and play, you know, at this institution. And so, no, those early years were really valuable, but make no mistake, they were tough. And I'm really competitive, and, you know, it was really hard to lose and really hard to fail, but I value that as much as anything we've been through here.
I'd love to hear you say that you look back with perspective and say, boy, I didn't know what I thought I knew. And I feel like that a lot as a radio host, thinking back to my early 20s or mid-20s, going, boy, I thought I knew it all, and I said something on the radio, or I tried to do this, and it just didn't work when I think back on it. When you think back on it, what do you realize? Oh, boy, I thought I had that figured out, but I really didn't.
Everything. I think I'm somebody that's just a ton of conviction about what I do. And I had so much conviction about how I wanted to recruit, you know, how we wanted to play, how we wanted to run a practice and all those types of things. And that was great. But we look back now and all those things are completely different, in some ways opposite, you know, of the way that we started out. So again, the longer I do it, the more I just get so into the process of trying to grow, trying to get our program to grow one day at a time, you know, and learning that there's a, you know, you're going to evolve. So, you know, obviously I love having conviction about what we're doing, but understanding that you're going to make adjustments, you're going to learn things, and you're going to keep growing and evolving.
You were born in Greensboro. When you look at that, does it feel a little bit like destiny to have taken over the reins of this program?
It's really neat to coach in your hometown. I spent a lot of my childhood in both Greensboro and Charlotte, so there's tons of roots here. This place is, you know, UNCG and the Greensboro community has wrapped their arms around me from day one, and I think a lot of coaches wouldn't have made it through, you know, some of the those tough years early on. So it's been really neat now to see us, you know, take some steps forward and have a little success. Because not just for us, but for the people in the community that have kind of backed up and supported us and followed us over the years. So it's been really special to kind of do it in your hometown.
You were, of course, coached by Roy Williams as you guys win that national championship in 2005. I was just over into the ACC tournament last night, and I was just talking about it in the first hour. How amazing it is to watch in person the transition offense that Roy coaches now and has kind of always coached. When you think back to how you guys were coached when you were under him at UNC, what is it about Roy and how kind of his touch or his coaching style affects what you see on the floor and what that means for a program that basically is a national championship contender year in, year out for 15 years at UNC under him?
Yeah, listen, I'm pretty biased, but I just don't think there's anybody better. And I think this year's a great example of his greatness. You know, I mean, he's relentless in imposing his will and how he wants his teams to play on a team every year. You know, number one, he's just unbelievably competitive but he's relentless in imposing the things that he does. You know, you look at his teams, you know, they always are elite in transition. They're always elite on the backboards. And it doesn't matter who the personnel is. It changes year to year. Those things never change. I think what's really neat that with this year's team, as I've watched, is he usually is elite around the basket and in the post. You know, but as his personnel has changed a little bit, you know, he's now changed on offense, and they're spreading it and shooting it and playing a little different in the half court than they ever have, and they're still just as successful. So, no, I'm really fortunate to call him a friend, a mentor. I learned so much playing for him. I'm still learning a lot from him now. But the more I watch him as I'm a coach, the more I appreciate just how great he is and feel really fortunate that I've been able to be around him so much.
Wes Miller, head coach, UNC Greensboro, dancing for the first time that program is since 2001. For the Southern Conference, the SoCon, they are going into the NCAA tournament. What a cool story this is after knocking off East Tennessee State 62-47 in the SoCon championship game. Coach, congratulations on this bid, man. I know you guys are fired up. This is such a cool story. Thanks so much for finding time for us, and best of luck at the NCAA tournament, bud.
Hey, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate you guys having me.
You got it. Wes Miller joining us here on the show. Another mid-major mothership. Very, very cool. I love those stories. Very, very cool. Love shining the spotlight and giving a little shine to the programs that have kind of gotten over the hump and are finally bursting through. Might only have a game, maybe two games, short stay in the NCAA tournament, but worth telling their stories, absolutely. Scary moment last night for the Boston Celtics as in a win over the Timberwolves, 117-109 on the road, Jaylen Brown, one of their great young players, goes in for a dunk two-handed, hangs on the rim a little bit, then falls backward and slams his head on the floor. It was terrifying image because, of course, Gordon Hayward had that brutal injury on night one. And the Celtics, I'm sure, can't shake that. And the story of Hayward, his gruesome injury, his rehab, him in a cast, will he play again this year? And then you have Jaylen Brown falling on the back of his head and then rolling over onto his left shoulder and just standing there, motionless, with his arms at his sides. And everybody in that arena were just holding their breath. Now, luckily, he didn't need a stretcher. He was helped off of the floor. Everybody in the arena gave him a standing ovation. And he actually tweeted after the game. So that's very, very good signs. But the Celtics aren't saying how soon he'll be back or when he'll be back. I mean, luckily, it doesn't seem like it's a devastating injury, and it could have been a lot worse. But who knows? Knowing what we know now about concussions and after effects, where this thing goes. It was gruesome. It was brutal. And Jaylen Brown is such a fun player to watch. He's a bright player as well. He's got a lot of cool thoughts, and I really respect his intelligence, how he handles himself, and the type of player that he is. That was scary last night. And the Celtics, we were just talking about Steph Curry and the ankle injury for the Warriors. I don't know if the Warriors can survive the Rockets if they don't have Steph Curry in there. I mean, they might be able to still put it together because who knows about the Rockets, but it certainly makes it a more daunting task. For the Celtics, they can't get through the East unless Jaylen Brown is playing for them. Jason Tatum is amazing. Al Horford is steady. Kyrie Irving's been very good. But Jaylen Brown brings explosion on the offense, solid defense as well. And that youth and that vigor that they need to keep getting better is a great two-way player. They need him to take down teams like Toronto or Cleveland in the East. This is a big thing to watch. I mean, again, it's still a number of weeks until the playoffs, a month until the playoffs, but that's a scary injury to see Jaylen Brown go down in the back of his head and stay down for a while with his arms pinned at his sides. When we come back, more mid-major mothership. Casey Alexander, Lipscomb's going to join us here on the show. They won the Atlantic Sun in that crazy game. We'll talk to him about taking a 12-hour car ride with the family back to campus after they won that last weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience.
Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
TA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember to get locked in to the simulcast going on as we speak at watchda.com. You can always watch the show. And next hour, the great Susanna Collins will be joining us in studio. So make sure you are locked in. 40 minutes from now, she'll be in studio talking a little MLS with us and do a lot of fun stuff as she always does. Susanna Collins coming up in about 40 minutes in studio. So watch at watchda.com. More mid-major mothership. It's one of the craziest games of March. Was in the Atlantic Sun Championship game.
It's DA's mid-major mothership. Only on CBS Sports Radio.
Final 10 seconds. Lipscomb players jumping up and down for the first time in school history. The Lipscomb Bisons will stampede to the NCAA tournament.
That is Ted Emmerich on Westwood One. One of the crazy games of March. Lipscomb survives. They had a 30-point lead in this one. FGCU cut it down to 5, but then the Bisons end up pulling away 108-96 at a raucous arena in Southwest Florida, and Lipscomb is dancing. More than 200 points scored in regulation in this game. And joining us is head coach of Lipscomb. That is Casey Alexander, dancing into the tournament. Coach, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning. I appreciate it. That call right there will never get old. I can promise you that.
How many heart attacks or mini heart attacks did you have during the course of this game?
It was a tough one. That second half was an eternity, I tell you. It was. We felt like we would never get out of there. So glad that time finally ran out.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you guys had that huge lead, but in any basketball game, you know that the opponent can go on a run. But in a college basketball game, especially a conference championship game, basically you were playing on the road floor, you know that no lead is safe. So what are you telling your guys as FGC was cutting into the lead?
Right. Well, I'll go back to halftime. I felt like our players had the right mentality. They were saying the right things. They knew what could happen. You know, nobody thought it would happen or wanted it to happen, but we knew that it could. And so, you know, we just tried everything we could during that second half. You know, I challenged them some. I encouraged them some. We did it all. Got mad at them. Got mad at the refs. You name it. Anything we could do just to try to figure out something to help us survive. That's what we did.
That was one of your best offensive performances of the season. You guys routinely score in the 80s and 90s, so you have a tremendously potent offense. But 108 in a championship game in regulation is something special. Did you feel like when you guys started the game, boy, this is going to be a really good day for us on offense?
There's no way to predict it would be that sensational, you know, but that we have been playing really well, and we are a really good offense team, and we've had pretty good offensive success against them as well. So, you know, but you start the game and you get off to a good start, and then it just incrementally keeps getting better and better and better. And then you look up at halftime and you've got 60, and your best player's got 26 at the half. No way you could predict something like that.
You guys put up 110 against USC upstate earlier in the season, but that took you to double overtime. To put up 108 in regulation is just remarkable for what you guys did. When you look back, and I know now finally you have the ability to exhale, is it incredible to think about putting up 108 in regulation?
It is, especially on the road against a really good team in a really tough environment. So, you know, have to give players great credit for execution. You know, and it's one thing to execute. The shots has to go in, too. So, you know, the performance of our players on that end of the floor, really phenomenal. And I would say that the defensive game, you know, in the first half has been undersold entirely. Everybody knows how those two things go together. You know, we had a ton of transition points, which means you have to get stops on the defensive end. You have to create turnovers on the defensive end. So both ends were important, but the points are what, you know, sticks out the most for sure.
Yep, and FGCU obviously is a very good team, as you mentioned. They were Dunk City a number of years ago. To build up a 29-point lead at halftime means you had to play good defense on them. You guys ended up surviving this game, which means you're going to the NCAA tournament. You've been at Lipscomb now for 5 seasons. This is your first dance into the NCAA tournament. What does it mean for you personally to finally get this team into the field of 68?
Yeah, there's no you can't put a price tag on, you know, watching your players celebrate and enjoy something that every single one of them has dreamed about and what you talk about all season long. You know, we knew we had a good team. We knew this was possible, you know, but to say that we thought it was probable or, you know, or going to happen, you know, would not be truthful. So it was just, it was a great experience. It still is, and it's going to be. Hopefully we'll go back many more times, but there's nothing like going for the first time.
Casey Alexander, head coach Lipscomb, winners of the A-Sun going into the NCAA tournament. You've been open about this. You feel like you guys are better than a 16 seed, and you feel like you're better than playing as part of the couple of play-in games. Why is that?
I just think our body of work, and we're a 103 RPI, I think, you know, and there's just going to be some teams that don't have the credentials that we have. But I'm also realistic to know that we're the new kid on the block, and you know, when they get down to that part of the bracket, they're just putting us wherever they feel like is best. And so we'll be prepared for anything, and we won't even be disappointed. You know, we're happy to play. We're excited about it. It's not like playing a two seed, you know, means you're catching some phenomenal break and not going to have to play a good team. So, you know, whether it's we're a 16 or a 15, we're going to be playing somebody really good. That'll take a great effort and another great performance just to be in the game.
Got to tell you, man, I'm a professional broadcaster. I went to broadcast school, and it's tough for me to continually call you guys the Bisons. I keep wanting to say Bison singular, but it is plural Bisons. How long did it take you to get used to that?
Well, I'm a Nashvilleian. I grew up here, which is where Lipscomb is, and so it's the only thing I've ever known. And I'm not a broadcaster, nor great. So I'm just going to go with it. You know, we've got some old Oxford English Dictionary, something or other that you know that where somebody has justified that it's okay. So
right.
We'll stick with it. You know, if nothing else, people are talking about it, I guess.
Hey, finally, you drove back to Nashville from Fort Myers, Florida. That is not a short drive. That's like a 12-hour drive. The kids got to end up flying back, but you ended up driving home from that championship game. Why'd you decide to drive home instead of taking the flight?
Because I wouldn't have been able to get in the front door when I got home if I didn't. The way our tournament is, you know, we play at host site, so nobody knows where you're going until, you know, 24, 48 hours prior to game time. And trying to get my family of four on a flight down to South Florida was not in the checkbook. So I told them if they'd tough it out and get themselves down there, win or lose, I would take them home. So I just had to hold up my end of the bargain.
Boy, thank goodness you guys won, huh? It's a long 12 hours if you lose.
It would have been miserable, without a doubt. And it was just barely better than miserable to begin with.
How do you kill 12 hours in the car with the fam?
Hey, let me tell you, it was actually really useful time. I drove, my wife was riding shotgun, and so, you know, I had a personal secretary for the whole time. You know, she responded to every one of my text messages,
nice.
My emails. It was really a pretty cool thing, a way to get a lot of business done.
When you're trapped in a car for 12 hours, you get an assistant coach. Yeah, you end up being really, really productive, don't you?
That's right. Yeah, it's amazing what you can get done if you just sit still for a minute.
Lipscomb head coach Casey Alexander and the Bisons, they are dancing into the field of 68. The NCAA tournament brackets will be released, of course, on Sunday. We'll see where Lipscomb is playing. What a tremendous and a thrill of a game. I loved watching that game last weekend, man. That was so much fun. Congratulations on getting the bid, finally getting to the NCAA tournament. This is so cool, man. We'll be pulling for you in the NCAA tournament, bud.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you guys having me on. It was fun.
You got it. Casey Alexander, Lipscomb head coach, coming out of the A-Sun tournament. Aren't those great? Don't you love mid-major motherships? I mean, in a world where we talk about so much of the griminess of sports all the time, we get so annoyed. Man, I just love talking to these guys that got these moments, to get to cherish these moments, to have these life-changing moments coming out of low majors and mid-majors. I mean, you know, no offense, but Coach K is not driving 12 hours home from Brooklyn, okay? It's just not happening if he wins the ACC tournament. I just love it. I think it's just the coolest thing. When we come back, drug dealer rips the Knicks. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
DA, be beam me up. Ah, finally on the mothership. I love your show, man.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Brand new episode of Nomad is out. I took down some of the best barbecue I've ever had, and I was shocked at how good it was because I was prepared to go in there and say, nah, 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 nah. I've heard the hype, and I'm not buying into it. But it was legit, so check it out. One of my favorite new barbecue places with up-close and personal chats with burnt ends, ribs, brisket, and pulled pork. My favorite crew to talk to. It's episode number 51. It's out this week. Search my name and Nomad, Damon and Nomad. You'll find my channel on YouTube. Check them out. Binge watch it this week, and I think you'll enjoy it. Also, subscribe when you get there. That way you get automatic notifications when a brand new Nomad episode is out. Again, subscribe when you get there. That helps us all out. Make sure we get the videos to you delivered hot and fresh.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
This game preview is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Introducing the B-Dubs Brew Series, a rotating tap series committed to the new, the unique, and the revolutionary. Right now, B-Dubs is featuring the Stone Scorpion Bowl IPA. So head to Buffalo Wild Wings, aspiring beer meisters, and consider this your first lesson. Available for a limited time. While supplies last, please drink responsibly. Duke, UNC tonight, semifinals of the ACC tournament. Winner goes into the championship game. The two teams split the regular season series, each team winning on its home court. Neither team currently in a one-seed line, but with a win here over an opponent like Duke or UNC, and then winning the ACC tournament could perhaps push them up to the one seed. We'll see. Again, your Buffalo Wild Wings preview. And that sounds really good. I could use an ice-cold beer in about an hour and 20 minutes from now. Sounds really, really good. Let me tell you that.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
I'll tell you, I think when we get to March Madness, we are going to have a hell of a show because we are planning a bracket challenge for you guys. And we've got some tricks up our sleeve here. But we would love for you to play with us. And for some of the top scorers, there will be a special DA show prize. Koozies.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
We will also play, for those of us here inside the studio walls, the ultimate loser. And we have got a torturous punishment set up for whoever has the worst bracket. So once Selection Sunday rolls around, we will let you know how you can play along with us to fill out some brackets. I think you'll like the prizes and the punishments that we have for the Mothership Bracket Challenge. Your toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tom has dialed us up. He's listening at 96.5 in Pennsylvania to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, DA.
How you doing?
All right. The annual purge has begun in the NFL. Players are getting thrown away as quick as Mraz is throwing those chicken wing bones on the floor in the studio. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you like that way of doing business, or you're more the NBA. You're stuck with a player that you signed a contract, for a number of years, like Knicks with Noah. He's making $18 million a year for I don't know what. Maybe he's James Dolan's butler. But just wanted to get your thoughts on the guaranteed versus non-guaranteed contracts and the way it works.
I don't even think that James Dolan would allow Joakim Noah to be his butler. That is going to end up going down in history as one of the worst free agent signings of all time. It already is. I like the NFL way because all of us in life are on year-to-year deals. I don't get guaranteed contracts. If my show stinks, if the ratings go down, if the bosses don't like me, for whatever reason, I'm out. I might get a little bit of a severance, but I don't have 3 guaranteed years at a certain rate. There's no guarantee for me. Every day I wake up, that alarm clock goes off, and I go, I got to bring it today. That's how we all live. And I might be old-fashioned. I just believe in accountability. I believe that you've got to bring it every single day. And that's not only in your job, but that is in life. And it's hard, but you have to be your best self every single day. And I put a lot of pressure on myself every single day to try to do that. I don't always live up to that, but I believe in it. You treat people the way that you want to be treated. You try to be the person that you want others to be. And in sports, the NFL to me, and I think there's a lot of problems with the NFL, I think that's the way the sports contracts should be. They should be. They should be year-to-year contracts. Now, granted, there's guaranteed money up front for the NFL, so it's not all just year-to-year. And in the NFL, it makes more sense to not have guaranteed contracts because of injury risk. When you have guys going through car collisions every single day, if you spend 6 years guaranteed money at $12 million a year, by the time you get to year six, that guy's body is probably broken and battered, and you can't possibly assume he'll be on the football field. It also makes it ironic because if anybody probably deserves guaranteed money, it's the guys that are going through car wrecks every single day. But I don't like guaranteed money because I think that it allows players to take time off and to not take it seriously and to basically coast once they get paid. And that's why I think it's hysterical when people criticize LeBron. LeBron has taken a series of one-year deals. He has bet on himself every single year against injury and has not accepted just mailing it in, because imagine what LeBron's guaranteed money would be. $220 million, $250 million. LeBron could cash in right now, have a 5-year deal, and never have to work hard ever again on the floor. And every year he goes, I'll go year to year. Give me 35 this year. Give me 30 this year. I don't care about 2 years from now. I know I'm going to work my tail off 2 years from now and 3 years from now and 4 years from now, and I bet on myself. I love guys like that. I understand why football hates it and football players hate it. Every other league has guaranteed contracts. But I love it. And I wish all of the leagues were set up that way. Now look, owners and general managers have to be held accountable for giving out bad contracts. Everybody knew Joakim Noah shouldn't get that deal from the Knicks, except Phil Jackson was the only stunod to give it out. So that's on Phil Jackson. And that's on the Knicks for signing off on something as stupid as that. But personally, I like non-guaranteed contracts. I like these guys betting on themselves and going year to year. Speaking of the Knicks, if you haven't read the Steve Francis Players Tribune piece, I highly encourage it. If you've got some time, it'll probably take you about 20 minutes to read. I highly encourage it. He wrote a first-person piece of his story for the Players Tribune. And I didn't know most of the details of this. We know that Stevie Franchise had kind of a shooting comet kind of career, shown really bright in college at Maryland, drafted really high by the Vancouver Grizzlies, ended up being traded to the Houston Rockets because he refused to play for the Grizzlies, seen as a malcontent, seen as the next generation of NBA bad boys, went to the Rockets, had some incredible moments, then traded to the Magic, and then the Knicks, flamed out, tried to play overseas, never truly captured the greatness that his potential showed. But Stevie Francis writes about being a crack dealer at 17 years old. Growing up at the DC Projects, dad incarcerated, mom dies of cancer. He's living in a house, in an apartment, basically, 18 people in 3 rooms. And he's going, I got to deal drugs. So he's dealing crack in D.C. in the 90s on the street corner and going, my mom died. My dad's gone. I've got nothing to live for. I will either go to jail or I will die. And that is just going to be my lot in life. Didn't even play a lot of organized high school basketball. Played a little AAU. And at that point in time, a junior college coach, junior college in Texas, says, Steve, we want you here. He goes, I've never been out of the city, let alone to Texas, and I got no money to get down there. His aunt says, you need to get out of here. Get out of here. Gives him $400 bucks, to buy a plane ticket and have some spending money. See, this is all the $400 I got. You got to get out of here. Buys the plane ticket, has not anything to his name, steps off of a plane in Houston and plays JUCO. Who remembers that Steve Francis played JUCO? He then is incredible in junior college. He's got no distractions. 1 year after playing there, he goes back home and realizes, my God, I can't come back to D.C. to do this. I need to make basketball work. He ends up getting recruited by Georgetown, Maryland, and others. John Thompson tells him, because he always wanted to play for Georgetown, he tells Steve Francis, Steve, we love you, buddy. I would love to coach you. But I just had Allen Iverson, and I can't take it again. He said, I just had Allen Iverson. I will have a heart attack if I coach you. It's the same deal. A posse, hangers-on, dudes from the hood. I can't have you and the way that you play and you're temperamental. I can't do it. So he goes to Maryland. Balls out, incredible, drafted by the Grizzlies. Gets drafted by the Grizzlies, says, I ain't playing in Canada. Not doing it. Peace out. Trade me. So remember, the Rockets have to trade a boatload of players and picks to get him. He goes to Houston, sits on the plane next to Hakeem Olajuwon. Hakeem's like, what are you listening to? He's like, Jay-Z. Hakeem goes, turn that off. He's like, I'm listening to Jay-Z, Dream. He goes, I'm listening to the word of God. Turn it off. Stevie Franchise is like, yeah, I'll turn this off. Hakeem's listening to like prayer CDs. Turn it off. Dream teaches him how to shop for suits. He says Yao Ming is one of the greatest teammates he's ever had. Loved his time in Houston, still lives there, but then traded to Orlando. He talks about drinking himself out of the league. He says he never did drugs, only dealt them. He ends up getting traded to Orlando and then the Knicks. I hear Knicks fans tell me all the time, Knicks are on the come. Here come the Knicks. Knicks a young team. Watch out, DA. Knicks are back. Knicks tape this. Knicks tape that. Let me give you the quote from Steve Francis when he became a member of the New York Knicks. It crushed me. It's not even worth talking about those years of the Magic and definitely not worth talking about those Knicks years. That part of the story is like the end of Goodfellas, when everybody's getting jammed up and ratting on each other and they're driving around looking up into the sky for police helicopters. It was a mess, man. I got to both of those teams and it takes you like 5 minutes of being in the locker room before you realize, nope, no wins here. You can tell in a minute. It's a culture. Okay, so I just want to summarize Steve Francis. Dude was selling crack on a corner in the hood. Thought that the only lot in life was incarceration or death. Dealt drugs. Drank himself out of the league. Bad people around him. Went to the Knicks and said, this is a losing culture. This is a man that dealt crack. And he looked at the Knicks and said, can't win here. This is a bad situation. Steve Francis dealt crack in the hood. He looked at the Knicks and said, I don't want to be around here. It's a bad culture. This was a crack dealer looking at the Knicks and saying, don't want to be here. Bad culture. Can't win. Losing culture. Oh, yeah. The Knicks are going to get good. The Knicks are going to get good. Oh, yeah. They're going to turn it around. No, they're not. They'll never turn it around because James Dolan is the owner and it is a culture of the end of Goodfellas. That's the culture of the Knicks. When Steve Francis says it was like the end of Goodfellas, people are ratting on one another and looking up into the sky for police helicopters, he knows what he speaks about because he was a drug dealer. The Knicks are going to get good. The Knicks are going to get Porzingis and Ntilikina and Hernan Gomez. No, they're not. Oh, it's the best. That is the best. Steve Francis grew up in the worst situation. 18 people in three rooms got to the Knicks and said, I don't want to be here. Was making millions of dollars. Wasn't worth it. Said, the culture's bad here. I got to get out. Hey, Isaiah, how's it taste? Hey, James Dolan, how's it taste? That says it all. That says it all. When we come back, our friend Susanna Collins is going to join us here in studio. We love having her here in the studio. She's very funny. She's very smart. She's very talented. We'll talk MLS with her. We'll also play 10 questions with her. She is known to quiz soccer players about off-the-grid items. Well, it's time for us to turn the tables. Let's see if Susanna can take some of her own medicine. Susanna Collins in studio. Watch at watchda.com next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.